All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is June 8th, 2023. Beautiful smoky day here on the East Coast. I don't know how many days we've had smoke, but it has been a few. It's probably five in a row or so. And yeah, very interesting. I hadn't, you know, it's funny. I hadn't really been paying attention. You know, we live sort of, near the beach. So there's always this sort of like coastal fog that kind of happens a lot, especially this time of year as the weather's changing, like warm fronts will come through and hit the cold water and, you know, makes fog and stuff. So we tend to be a little hazy anyway, but wow, it is definitely starting to be a thing. I went out paddling yesterday, a great day, super blessed, all because I'm sober. Thank you for being sober, Tom, because I'm experiencing a lot of cool shit, right? And one of them is paddling, and I went paddling yesterday. A little different paddle yesterday, not as many people available. So we did some things called OC1s, which is an outrigger canoe number one, which means it is fits one person. And wow, this thing was a, it's not an easy little boat to paddle, right? It's like paddling a toothpick, right? With another toothpick stuck off to the side. But it was fun. I fell in a few times yesterday. That's the first time I've hoolied, where your boat flips over and you fall into the ocean. And it happened a couple times yesterday. Wasn't bad, though. The water was really nice. It was a little cool, but I wasn't freezing, right? But I did notice that I was having trouble breathing. And it was crazy, and I realized, and I think it was from all the smoke. Yeah, I don't know. It was really cool, though, yesterday. I was down. You know, usually on a typical paddle day, we'll go out in the boat with a group. You know, it's a six-seat boat, so we'll take the six-seat boat out, a group of six, and we'll go paddle, you know, five to eight and a half or so miles, and then come in. And yesterday, we didn't have enough people. We only had three people. We actually only had two, so we decided to try something different. It was fun, but a lot harder than paddling in the six-seat boat, so a little bit out of my comfort zone, right? But tried it. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot more core exercise because you literally can be sitting in this boat, kind of flip your hips and flip the boat over. That's just how sort of unstable this little boat is. But, you know, so what ends up happening, you have to kind of lean to the left. And so this morning, my abs on my right and left are kind of sore from trying to not flip this boat over. And you know, it was funny because I haven't flipped over in a boat, right? I've never flipped over in one of these canoes. They talk about hooling in the past. We've yet to do it. I think we're trying to be super careful because up until this point, really, you know, the water's been in the 50s, and, you know, nobody wants to fall into the damn ocean in the 50s, but it's getting warmer. So it was funny. Yesterday, I was really worried about falling in the damn water. I was really scared, and finally, it happened, right? It just happened. And actually, I forget the name of the arms. I wish I could be better at my memory. I'm so interested in the names of these parts of these boats, as they're said in like this Polynesian or Hawaiian, you know, the amaka and all these different things. But the arms that hold the ama, right? I know the ama is the buoy thing. So the arms, one of the arms actually hit me in the back of the head, which was fine, but I could see if that had been a bigger arm or maybe hit me faster. I don't know. I mean, probably could have been worse, but I was fine. I definitely had my life preserver on. I was in no danger of being knocked out or anything, but it was a big reality check. I was like, holy cow. But once I fell in, I was like, okay, that's not the end of the world. And then I started to have a little more fun and start feeling a little bit more comfortable. And then, of course, I flipped over two more times. And by that time, I'd pretty much had enough. But the cool thing was that on the way down, there's a guy flying out in the bay on one of these paragliders, one of these parachutes with the propeller on the back of his back. And right away, I'm like, that's my buddy Ryan, right? And he's flying right over us. And I posted some pictures on my Instagram I don't even know if anybody knows my Instagram, but there are some pictures of it on the Instagram. And it's funny because I'm taking pictures of Ryan flying over, and then Ryan sends us a picture, sends me a picture of him taking a picture of us flying over us. And it was just really cool, man. It was awesome. Great shots. Just really cool, man. Just grateful to be alive and sober today and getting to try these things, right? I would have never tried these things. You know, I moved to this area in 94 and got sober in 97. And I could tell you, I wasn't trying any of these things but in 94 or 95 or 96, right? I was in the bottle, right? In me, and not comfortable trying to do these things. These are, you know, one of the things that I would always sit around and be bummed out about in my drunken stupor was the lack of things that I participate in, or lack of things that I tried, because self-centered fear gets involved, right? Self-centered fear talks us out of trying these things. And, you know, one of the greatest things I find with being sober today is this ability to do whatever I want, right? I can try whatever I want. Nothing's stopping me. Yeah, I might look like a fool, right? I might feel like a fool. But, you know, but in the end, if I'm not going to try cool things while being sober, what's the point? Jewelry. That's been live. Great album. Awesome band. Definitely drinking when that band came out, for sure. That's how long it's been. 25th anniversary. Interesting. But yeah, you know, just a lot of the gifts that come along with being sober. I remember when I was, you know, sober, it was probably 98, 99, and going to a bunch of weddings and, you know, dancing. Right, just dancing sober. I was great at dancing when I was drunk. You know, I would dance. Really, I would just kind of bounce around, trip over shit, fall down, you know, stupid dancing. But one of the first things that I started doing when I got sober was that I would dance, right? I didn't really care. I did not really care what people thought about me. And, you know, I mean, of course, I felt like I had some moves, right? I mean, not breaking down moves, but I could dance to a beat, and I could participate, right? And I just remember all of the people drinking, and I shouldn't say all of them, but a big group of them, especially guys, wouldn't dance, right? They'd all stand around at the bar or around the outsides because they did not want to look like a fool, right? And that was kind of the funny thing about when I was in my addiction. I was always worried about what everybody thought about me, right? Even though I didn't care about me, right? I didn't give a shit what I look like to myself, but I was concerned what I look like to other people. And it's a mess, right? And so one of the cool things for me getting sober was just this freedom to do whatever I wanted, right? And not really care, you know, if someone said, "Hey, you're the worst dancer I've ever seen," and be like, "Yeah, no, what do you expect? I don't put a lot of effort, but I'm just trying to have some fun," right? I don't need to take everything so personally, right? And everything doesn't need to be an attack on me, right? There is sometimes things happen, You know, I can remember a few things happening, those brain creases in my life where, you know, I could have easily been offended, right? I remember when Matt was having that party and I asked him if he could move it over to the next day. And he's like, I'm moving 100 people. I'm going to tell 100 people to move to a different day because you can't make it. That was the green light for me to flip out, right? Fuck you, man. You know, what the fuck? That's bullshit, right? You know, some stupid return comment. And the fact is that, you know, that whole issue was really my fault. Me expecting people to do something like that when in turn, of course he's not moving a whole party for me, right? Of course he's not. But those brain creases that I, those humiliating moments, right? Because to me, it was absolutely humiliating to my buddy Matt when he was saying it. I don't think he was trying to humiliate me. I think he was trying to open my eyes to recognize what a self-centered person I was. But it felt like I was being humiliated. So, you know, but hey, I was sober, right? You say, hey, I get it, right? I don't need to go have a drink, right? I don't need to, you know, tell him to go fuck off. I say, whoa, yeah, I guess that makes sense, right? That makes sense, Matt. Good point. I'll see if I can move my schedule, right? Or I just don't get to go, right? That could happen as well. I just don't get to go to the party. But this newfound freedom, you know, I went to the meeting on Sunday. I went to a meeting on Sunday because I did not go to the meeting on Friday because of my son's graduation. So I went to a meeting on Saturday or Sunday, and it was a great meeting. The topic was the promises, which is always amazing. And I don't know. Let me see if I can bring them up real quick without taking a whole lot of time. Let's see. I did search these the other day when I was at the meeting. AA promises. Right here. So I remember the, you know, what's also funny is that they're not really listed as, you know, we read the promises, you know, number one, if you, here, let me see. I'm just going to read them, but they're not really listed as numbered, right? It's sort of a paragraph of promises that, of things that will happen to you if you, if you work a program, you know, work with a sponsor, work through the steps. Ideally, some of these things should hopefully come true in your life. I can say for me, almost all of them have come true. Number one, if we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. I agree. I was amazed the first day, right? I remember driving down the road. I've said this 1,000 times. I remember driving down the road not being drunk. I was already elated and amazed, right? I was like, I cannot believe this. This is what... You know, I was, a lot of my shame and guilt and sorrow was because I used to drink and drive. You know, I would say to myself, you're not going to drink and drive. You're not going to drink and drive. And then I have a drink and the next day I'm out driving. And then the next day I'm like, oh my God, you are such a fucking idiot. And so just to not be drinking and driving was, oh man, if that was it, I would have been happy, right? Number two, we are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. And this was the one of the topics that was brought up at the meeting. And same thing, right? Immediately that first day, the fact that I'm driving without using alcohol, right? That, to me, was such a freaking weight on my back, such a rock around my neck, the fact of that behavior. And just to be free of that for that one day just felt amazing, right? And then to also just kind of be part of something, right? At this point, I'd spent time at BB. I had joined this outpatient program, which was for a year. I had become part of a group. All of a sudden, I had hope, right? And hope is amazing, right? Hope gives us freedom, right? And a new happiness, at least for me. And so we are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. I felt that immediately, right? Immediately. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. That's interesting, right? I have no regrets. I do not regret the past. I believe that I had to go through all of that. Unfortunately, sorry to the folks that had to be part of that, but I sort of had to go through all of that to get to where I am today. Even drinking after 5 years, I don't suggest it, right? But I can tell you that it was at that time that I decided to come to a program because I get to, rather than because I have to. And I had spent 5 years in this program because in my mind, I felt like I sort of had to. I had been sentenced. I was a victim of it. And it just didn't, I didn't think correctly in that position. So, you know, drinking again, coming back, realizing this is something I get to do. And, you know, it'd be a big change for me. So, and then, you know, I look back at the past and I look at sort of these like, you know, it would always sort of be like one of the things when I was back in my addiction, like if I wanted to get high, and this I think happens a lot, and somebody didn't want us to, we would get in a fight with them or an argument and then storm out and then go get high, right? That was my MO. So, you know, be careful how I have conversations today. And I can't get into the whole explanation. I've come a long way. You know, I watched a couple of people sort of get into an argument yesterday, and after the argument was over, I was talking to the guy, and I'm like, you know, you just got to sort of use a serenity prayer on this one. And he's like, what? And I go, yeah, you know, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And one of these people did not have the wisdom, so they got into a big argument. Don't have to do that today. Do not have to do that today. Very grateful for that. So, number four, we will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. Yeah, right? I've talked about this all the time. There's more than just sobriety. There is serenity. And to comprehend the word, and it says, and we will know peace, right? And it talks about in that fifth step, sober and peace of mind, right? Serenity to me is the key. If you can find serenity when that disease comes a knock, and hopefully all of that serenity stuff will help you not justify trying to figure out how to have a drink, right? You know, I love serenity. I get glimpses of it. I'm not living in a serene world all the time. But I can tell you, I don't have to get involved, right? I was watching these two yesterday argue, have kind of I don't know what you want to call it. It wasn't really an argument, just a discussion, right? But they, in the end, they both needed to agree to disagree, but that didn't happen either. And I'm like, you know, part of me wants to have an opinion, but the other part of me is like, it's not required, not necessary, isn't going to help. I recognize this. Very cool. In the past, I would have jumped in, rolled up my sleeves, and tried to fix it, right? Because that's what self-centered people do. We try to fix everything. We try to turn it around and make it about us, and that is not fun. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experiences can benefit others. Yeah, absolutely. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear, right? That's about accountability, right? For me, at least. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Yeah. I don't know how that happens, and I don't know why that happens. I don't know if it's just a transition that happens from putting down the alcohol. I personally think it's more about hanging out with a good group of sober people, a good group of examples, right? You know, I was at the meeting last night, and a guy celebrated 36 years. Fuck yeah, man, 36 years. But even he said, you know, there was a big portion of that time in the middle where, you know, he wasn't going to meetings, right? He was not, you know, because we get better. We get better. And we feel better, and life around us gets better, and the importance of these meetings, we tend to, you know, lose our focus a little bit. And I've been there, right? I also have been to a point where I used to go to a lot of meetings and was very judgmental. Oh, this guy ain't going to get it. Oh, this guy ain't going to get it. It's like, shut your mouth, Tom, right? Stop having an opinion. That's all self-centered bullshit. That's all devil talk, really. When I have a voice in my head that says, that guy's never going to make it. To me, that is probably the devil. Hold on. Sorry about that. My coworker didn't have a key. Had to borrow my key. What was I just saying? The feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. Yeah, I think that's, you know, I think that to me is really, you know, just being around good people, right? Just trying to find great examples. Yeah. What was I saying? The guy was saying that he even had a period of time, and I actually went through a period where I was like very judgmental. That's just all devil talk, right? I recognize it today. I didn't recognize it before. I really had a transition in my sobriety to serenity after this pandemic. When I started coming back to meetings and had that incident at the meeting where a couple guys were arguing, and it really affected me. It really bothered me. It really bothered me to a point where I didn't want to go back to the meeting. And then I had this epiphany, like, that is the devil, right? That's devil talk, or that's letting go of the hand of God, right? That is whatever it is that separates us from this program, right? And so I'm like, you need to chill out, dude. You need to stop being judgmental. I'm not that way anymore. And it wasn't that bad. I just would, I'm like, yeah, yeah. Like, I was really just trying to talk myself eventually out of going to meetings. And then the pandemic hit and shit. Then we became very grateful for meetings, right? Self-seeking will slip away. Yeah, that one. Always working on that, right? Always working on that. Still want to feel good about myself. Still, you know, I work in the public with people. I still want to put off, you know, a decent persona of myself. I don't need to be, I think my self-seeking is pretty low level. I don't need to drive a Porsche, right? I don't need to have the best car. I don't need to have the best selfies. But I still enjoy, you know, participating in life. So I'm not tormented by that, but I'm sure at some point I could do better. Number 9, our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Absolutely. Absolutely. My buddy Matt used to say, as long as you don't put a drink in your mouth, you can do whatever you want. The world is your oyster. Take it on. As soon as you put a drink in your mouth, all bets are off, right? And so that's how I've always said it. Listen, as long as I don't drink, I can do whatever I want. I can open a business. I can get a credit card. I can buy a car. I can buy a house. I can have relationships. I can have children. I can have relationships with other people. I can be dependable, right? People can count on me. Put a drink in my mouth. All of that goes out the window. That was a, that's a big deal. That is a big deal. What else do we got here? Oh, I missed one. Where did I miss? No matter how far down, where's the one that says, the feeling of uselessness will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Yeah. I think that just happens from hanging out with people in the program. And obviously not drinking and working the steps and having a sponsor. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Absolutely. Mine absolutely did. My attitude and outlook on life was very grim. I had zero outlook. I had zero hope. And today I'm like, I get to live the best life, right? I get to live the best life. I posted these pictures yesterday on my Facebook. I'm like, what a great day to be alive, right? My buddy Ryan's flying over in a paraglider. I'm out in an OC-1 canoe out in the bay. We're in the ocean. It's smoky. It's just what a freaking great day to be alive, right? Fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. That one I struggle with. I struggle with money. I'm not afraid of people. Definitely not. This is the best me. It's the best version of me. And I think that, I'm not afraid of people. Money scares the fuck out of me. I don't know why. I don't know if it's because I feel like I'm not a good person unless I have a lot of money. And I've never had a lot of money, so I guess I've never felt like a good person. I was talking to my son yesterday about being a miser, because he is, you know, he likes to make money and he likes to save it, right? And he has these goals of amounts of money. And I'm like, yeah, well, it's good to save money, right? It's good to put money aside for the future, but you can't be paralyzed by it, right? You can't become a miser. I said, you know, do some stuff. Have a little fun with your money. Go out, right? You know, take your girlfriend out. And he does. But I'm like, don't be consumed by the number, because that's how I live. Like, I remember when I won that $1,000 in San Diego, I did not even want to spend it because I liked the number 1,000. Right? I didn't want it to be any less because for some reason, having $1,000 made me feel like I was a better person. And yeah, so I'm still working on that promise. I'm definitely better. I also let my wife sort of manage all of our money today and just kind of stay out of it. I don't put my head in the sand, but I'm definitely, you know, she's taking care of our financial situation, and we're doing okay. This is my favorite promise, number 11. And what I was saying is they're not numbered. They're just sort of read in a paragraph, right? So someone has taken the time to number these and put them in a list. I don't know if that AA did that. I don't know if Bill and Bob did that or somebody else just did that, but they're not really listed in the big book as a numbered series of things. But anyway, number 11, we will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. First of all, I was like, what does intuitively know mean, right? Because I don't really know what the word means. I guess intuition, right? But I know one thing, that this to me, this promise is about accountability. This is about taking responsibility, cleaning it up, right? Healing and moving on. And then number 12, we will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. That one's a little strange. We suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. I'm assuming that means finding sobriety, right? Finding a higher power. You know, I believe that anything that's working towards getting sober is building a relationship with a higher power. It's a relationship with God. It's a relationship with good, right? You know, the decision to go to a meeting, right? That's a relationship with a higher power, because that's humble, right? Because self would be like, eh. I mean, for me, I should say, because there are people that are motivated to go to meetings and they have other things on the agenda when going to meetings. Some people don't do anything, right? This is their 1 hour out, right? Their social night. This is the big event. And that's great too. But for me, you know, self's like, we'd rather stay home. We'd rather watch TV. We'd rather kick it, play basketball, do something outside. But I have to go to this meeting. The kids are like, where are you going? Every time. Where are you going? I'm going to a meeting like every night, right? It'd be real easy to stay home. But I know, you know, I need to be here. And I said this at the meeting last night, you know. The guy had 36 years, and he, I guess he mentioned in the story that his wife said, you need to get back to meetings. Maybe not because you're going to become any more sober, right? But after 36 years, you got a lot of experience, right? And I said in the meeting, I said, you know, this book, and I've said this before, this book, the 12 steps, these words, this program, it's not inspiring to me. I'm not inspired by the words that I read, right? I'm not inspired. I mean, I think it's great, these promises. But these come after the 9th step, right? This is a, you know, a lot of people want to read these promises early. There was a lot of people at that meeting the other night that really have no business wondering what the promises are. I mean, you can, look at them. But if you're like me, still self-centered, you know, it's always about what am I going to get? What am I getting? And, you know, that's not great. But, I go to the same meetings every week because I want to, my job now is to be there for the next alcoholic. And, you know, if someone is interested in maybe asking me to be a sponsor or just a conversation, you know, I remember when I was trying to get my first sponsor, I did not want to ask him, right? What's that about, right? I was so ashamed or embarrassed or in fear of asking this old man if he'd be my sponsor, right? It felt like I was trying to get a job or something. And it took me a couple times. And the one thing about him, Mike R., was that he always was there on Mondays, right? So I'm like, shit, I'm going to ask him next Monday for sure. But it's a bummer when you show up and then that guy's not there and then the guy's not there for a while, right? And you're like, damn. And so I try, not that I'm, you know, I'm just going to meetings, right? Not doing anything special, but I try to go to the same ones consistently so that if someone does, you know, want to have a conversation or talk about something, you know, I'm available. And because that's, you know, I don't have 36 years, but I got 14, right? I've been doing this a hot minute. I can definitely listen, right? I think that's the big change, right? Is the listening. I think for years, I could always help fix somebody. But the point is that today I just need to listen, right? I was taught that by Matt, right? I didn't ask you to come over here and talk. I just said to come over here and listen. I was like, oh, brain crease. But to intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us, that promise, for me at least, is about accountability. Accountability, accountability. Taking responsibility for your actions and cleaning them up. The program teaches us how, whether it's making amends, healing and moving on. That's a big deal. Wow, the time is really flying. Let me read the daily reflections, and then I'm out of here. June 8th, opening up to change. Self-searching is the means by which we bring new vision, action, and grace to bear upon the dark and negative side of our nature. With it comes the development of that kind of humility that makes it possible for us to receive God's help. We can find that bit by bit, we can discard the old life, the one that did not work, for a new life that can and does work under any conditions whatever. That's right. That's right. I love that. Read that if you want. That was As Bill Sees It, page 10 and 8. I have been given a daily reprieve contingent upon my spiritual condition. Provided I seek progress, not perfection, to become ready for change, I practice willingness, opening myself to possibilities of change. If I realize there are defects that hinder my usefulness in AA and towards others, I become ready by meditating and receiving direction. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 58. To let go and let God, I need only surrender my old ways to Him. I no longer fight, nor do I try to control, but simply believe that with God's help, I am changed, and affirming this belief makes me ready. I empty myself to be full of awareness, light, and love, and I'm ready to face each day with hope. That's right. Yeah, I went a little long. Sorry. Check that reading out. How's your relationship with the higher power, right? Do you recognize how it used to be? Has it gotten better? Do you see it, right? Intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us? Do you find becoming accountable over situations where maybe in the past? Because if you're not, What are you? You're a victim, and nobody wants to be a victim, right? So, hey, have a great day. Later.
So I said unto this man, who are you and where do you come from? And he proceeded to tell me many, 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 many things. Said nothing at all. For the flower in the corner by the room, in the window, in the sun, said.